Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
I was going to say a couple of things. I can't even say that.
Just talk away. Just talk balls and people just send you gifts.
We don't do it.
What's your roles? Because the roses
were good. They're not even one pay. They're one pay payments. But like that time you exchange it all for dollars and all. It's probably about 2 cents or
something. We were sitting on there. Roses, we don't have a clue.
Have you got a universal? No,
I've had about 8.
Have you?
This fella, the wolf, when I started doing the raising, when I was only on it, he just came in and just fucking supported me big time and got me to number one. Know the wolf, you ever heard of him? One of the biggest songs. And I've never heard him. I did watch him a couple of times. He just came in out of the blue one day. I started on the Wednesday. And then they were like, just push your raisins, you're number 36, eh? And I went, I can't be long, I have loads of work and all day. I haven't, because I know you have to like put the hours in. I was like, I don't have the time to do this. And they were like, mate, push it. And I was in every comp, was just fucking selling me. Next thing I knew, I was number 8.
How do you check? Is your leaderboard?
So it's up at the top, it just tells you where you're pushing. And then by the Saturday, I was number 1. Because I fell out of wolf came in, and then it was Nor girl number 1, me and her was number 1, number 2, number 1, number 2, and we were just fighting against each other, and every comp was, and then on the last day of Sunday, which was the best buzz, I was out working, I was late up in the Lamb Derg delivering a buffet, and I was late battling, no fucking, because I was just scared to get her to number 1, do you know what I mean? I was like, I can't stop battling here, I'm staying on. It was like, you have to do like 5 to 12, so like, because it resets at 12 for the next week. And it was 5 to 12, and every con came in and just, I mean, there was 3,500 people in watching me, and there was 6.1 mil likes on the page. Just madness. And we were number 1. We were like, it was like 2 seconds. I had my last battle for 5 minutes, was right at 12 o'clock. And next minute, I just come up and seen her getting 3 unis. Some more big creator come in and try to get her to beat me. And it didn't work. We end up getting it.
You split screen?
No, she was on in our live. She was number one. Me and her was kind and all her team. See the way it works? Because I had no clue at this stage. Wow. I was only new. And all trolls were coming over and all and saying they're all talking about you and her live. And people are going over to her live. That's what they do. They try and get you banned, you know, like fucking to try and start a wee bit of hang. But it didn't work. It was a good experience. Like the old buzz was fucking lethal.
Was that for the holiday?
No, that was only recently. I was in January. I ended up getting that number one. And then should have stopped it 2 weeks later to do that new hang dailies with the way as an American stuff.
So see now, does that reset every week? There's a new
every day. Well, it used to be week to week. It used to be Sunday to Sunday, but now it's every day, every 24 hours. It's brutal. See, to be honest, it's like pulling teeth. It's absolutely cat, but it's good. Like it's good exposure. Whatever you want to do. Like I wanted to cook on it, obviously, and then I started back to work, and then now I don't have a time to cook. It's just
people just put it in the shops. Don't see it.
Come here, people love watching people cook. There's a fella I watch in England who makes fries, right? He's like a Syrian guy or something, and I mean he's 4,500 people watching him every day just making fries. Like, I'm not joking, you. Like, I swear to God, it's nuts. See, I couldn't be annoyed, like, doing it, because obviously I can't do it. Is this here being recorded? I was going to say a couple of things are kind of easy. There's a couple of cunts there in the double fucking, but yeah. So I can't, do you know what I mean? But, it's good. Actually, when I only started doing it, and then now, like, obviously with a wee story time, and, like, it's kind of like you build up a thing, so people just love to come in and watch you.
A load of the same, like, it's just a load of fans.
That's what you do, like, people just, and, like, for me, I've came on it, like, I'm not even joking, see at our person right now, the other day, that's probably the first I haven't been hardly told.
That's good if you give you a wee story for the day, and see many people got invested in that there.
I know.
Many people got invested, and then I was like, I clicked into one of your lives, and it was on, like, 1.3k. Everyone was talking about it, and then everyone else is going, "What are they talking about?" And then they're joining. It's weird the way it throws it up to people.
It's mad, and some of it, most of the people on it are proper sound. Like, obviously, there's a lot of content on it. Just love drama,
and there's jazz content.
But like, for me personally, I've had every content been really, really nice. Like, I get meals every day, and I mean, it would actually bring a tear to your eye. I want to say the stuff right too. Just really nice things. And as I was saying about the wee story time, and that's the thing as well. We being stitches everywhere we go, is all like people going, "My kids love you. Can I, my kid get a photo of you and all?" And I go to Anthony, "The fucking stuff I say in that too. I talk about some mad."
It's because you're legit. Like,
and the thing about it is, when I say as I was going to go on it, I was going to be open, because no cunt can throw anything up my face. Because I watched it in the background before I actually went on it, and I seen hard operates. Like, it's ruthless. If any cunt knows anything on about you on that, like, they're hitting you up the face with it. So that's why I'm an open book anyway. It's not just because of TikTok, it's just me and part, like, me normally.
We could just go there when we're fucking steaming, but then you get all sorts of, you're not allowed to say bad words.
You're not allowed to say most words. You're not, I kept saying gig. No, like, that's an old Belfast thing. Oh, he's a fucking gig. And they thought I was saying gay.
You know,
so I kept getting banana, because you're not allowed to say gay. It must be like all computerized, and these wee words pick up in these wee words. And they kept banana me, so that's why I had to join an agency to fucking find out. I was going, "Some cunt report me." And then I was like, "They couldn't be." Like, that's not normal, because it was every week. I was hardly on it for a week, for 2 days. And it was because I was saying that word. The agency got back to me and says, "They think you're saying gay," where I was saying gig. I think it's just our accent. I think it's just our.
But is it a fault? Is it come off validation?
Validation, ah. That's what it kept saying.
We had two or three in the morning, and then some girl says, "You have to get off now. If you don't get off now, you'll be balanced." So we jumped off and then jumped straight back on.
The restart, ah.
And all the same people just jump back in right away.
They do. Yeah, it's good, to be honest, like, say if I didn't have my job, like, to go to, but I do like having the job to go to, because I think if I was on that 24 hours, I would get caught up in all that madness, and I do like coming on every now and again when I want to, and come back off. But it is good. It's like, and especially like videos. Like, obviously, I want to do the wee stuff. I would love to do cooking videos, because that's what I love. But see, when I go to work and then I come home and go to eat
your food, top notch. Like,
it's fucking mad. Like, and then obviously I have to catering at the weekend, so I've no days off. I work 7 days a week. But yeah, it's good. Like, I do really enjoy it. I've met there's people's drove from County Kildare, I think it is, not too sure. People's came from Glasgow. People still, like, my birthday last week, people were coming with cards that I've never met, just off from TikTok. Presents, cards, bottles of aftershave, like, people come from Kildare with gifts, and made it scary. Like, we met families with their kids.
What is 44.
I know, mate, I can't believe I'm 44, it's brutal.
It's
just
all downhill, like.
It is.
I'm
35. And that's why, like, when I turned 40, I was like, right, I need to start thinking about having kids and all. Because it's something they want to do. It will happen. Like, it's definitely going to happen before I'm 50. Like, when I turned 40, I was like, right, because Anthony's kind of way younger than me, and I was like, right, I'll try it first. But it's a big process. It's expensive as well. And then I went out the window. I was like, I still have a load of rain to do. Do you know what I mean? But I do, like, I'm coming to a stage now where I just don't feel like I want to take drugs anymore.
Nah.
Like, I'm done. I still do it. Like, obviously, I'm not a heavy drug taker, but, like, when I socialize, it's just something I've done for years. And I love it. And I used to love it, but I don't love it now. And there's no fun in it no more. So I decided, last year, that was it. I was done, but it hasn't worked out.
The two wee men, him would be perfect. They had a trailer.
Ah, yeah, he's a really good friend of mine.
Is that his name?
It's worked for him.
So is that the same sort of thing you're looking to do?
Yeah.
Auntie's your boy?
He's way younger than me, so I just something I want to do, because now, like, I'm 44, I was like, I wonder, could I have kids? So I just want to know if I could. People say, no, would you not have that? But I was like, nah, I was rather just know if I can have them.
Yeah.
I can't have them.
So I definitely think I feel like I'm coming to that stage now where I'm just done with this. Taking drugs. I might be a beefer, to be honest. First time ever in a beefer in my life. I've never taken it.
Seriously?
First holiday ever in my life. Yeah. I've never taken any. I'm not even joking. It's probably one of the best holidays I've ever had.
Did you go with what's that in your head? I'm not going to take anything, or just the way things went?
I didn't, because the day we arrived, I bought 20 E's to go to Swedish House Mafia, and didn't even touch them.
Right. I was watching your live. I looked fucking powerful. It looked unreal.
And I swear to fuck, I'm not joking. I got on the bus, usually out of a lamb on the beach with a ghetto blaster and a fucking carrier till next morning. And I went straight home, got up for breakfast all next morning. And I loved it. But after the holiday I won, they go on TikTok. I was a hot day paid for it, like a 5-star hotel.
Oh, 4 nights or something?
4 nights, just.
That's
plenty. I could have went anywhere, do you know what I mean? But then I was like, I don't all year, I don't have the time. I was like, we'll go away in the winter for a week. But then I was like, it was my birthday, and we'll hear me, what me and you will just go and stay in that wee hotel and chill out. Swedish House Mafia was there, and I was this fella who works there for years. We've always got stuff on me, either Lisa. And I phoned him, and I was like, give me 28. I swear to fuck, we're still sitting there, and we left. I was like, I was so glad. And I ran out on the Tuesday as well, and was blocked, and still didn't touch him. Had them in my pocket, no, didn't even touch him.
I've seen your video in the way I stand, obviously, it's all.
Sad.
I want to ask you, so he's been more than me. I've only been the last 3 years through, so I never seen Ibiza back in the day. You have? What's the difference, sir? Like,
it's just, everywhere's closed. So what happened, like, I've been going there from I was 21, 23 years now. I've lived out there a couple of years working, and got married there a couple of years ago. But I just died. Apparently there's new laws in where you're like, nobody's allowed to sit outside. There's no music in the West End, and that was everyone went their West End for. It used to be just heaven bars, and they started chipping away at it, like saying no music outside, no seating outside, you had to be in, bring everything in. And all the bars just weren't surviving. And then obviously COVID then, I just think that was it.
So I seen you look like he was up the said streets of
See at their Amsterdam bar, no.
I never knew none of that was open back in the day. Like,
I used to be Shirley strip club, no, I used to be lethal. But no really good night to go out to the strip club. When I lived there, I met all my mates, went home and left me on my own. I moved in with two wee Geordie girls, and they worked in that Temptation strip club. I was down there one night, and I got talking away to him. I fell in love with him. I was like, oh, I'm moving me as a bar. And here we were getting free rent and everything. They were end up fucking renting all these drug dealers from Manchester. We were paying our rent. Once in our penthouse, all we were living. It was great.
And Amsterdam one night, so Barney's over the counter.
Over the counter. You used to go there and get all your stuff and fucking just people. All the wee bars did. They're all gone.
That's actually the one Michaela McCallum. She was working on it.
We're trying to get her on the podcast.
I know.
Are you?
I'm
asking
her, like, fuck, come on. Michaela, come on, the fuck.
Come on. Call out your manager, talk to us.
But it's that. But it's, do you know what? It's good. Like, obviously, me at this stage of the game, I'm kind of what, that's the way I want it now. Like, can't be fucked. Where I just love to go out, like, big clubs, like, 2 or 3 nights and then split back home, you know. But where years ago, you just didn't sleep. You were just running about the West End all night, no sleep and stuff. So it suits me, but obviously just for business, not as Catholic.
You're going back, aren't you?
22nd of September for the Cabin Party. We go every year. I don't know, I'm not going to take none this time. There's fucking 50 of us and they're all headers.
But see the closing parties, Roberto, it's generally an older crowd.
It is, at 100%. And see our Cabin Party one we go to every year, seeing it, it just proper glow. Because obviously a beef in that. Every concert all day in the 80s. People, it's not like it was years ago where people used to run about chewing the bacon shell, not a fuck given. People are all just there dolled up, like love it for photos and Instagram. We're at Camden Harry Night, it's just cons, glow sticks,
rolled back in
all coloured fucking thing, not giving a fuck, just going nuts.
What do you have, Amnesia?
Amnesia.
That's a sweatbox in there.
Oh, but here it's lethal.
Do you like it?
I love it.
I've been twice and I've walked out of it twice.
Or certain nights it is. Certain nights it be.
No one speaks English in it
either. I know, it's mostly all Spanish.
Aye, and he's fucking like for 40 quid
fucking
drink. It is. It's extortion. And see now, most of the clubs now are like 80 and 100 quid in as well.
Is that what it's up to? What? 60 I pin in the Amnesia twice. I seen Dimitri Vegas like Mike. Who was the other one? I seen him twice.
Oh, I seen him in Tomorrowland.
They're not good no more.
They're not. Because see, when I seen him in Tomorrowland, I fucking loved him, and me and Anthony went to see him. And
did you go to Tomorrowland? What's that? Harva?
It was good. I would love to go back because we only done the Sunday, and the Saturday night we ended up in the wee town in Belgium, and I can't even talk about it. Madness. So we couldn't really enjoy the Sunday. We still showed up. We got there, and they said to us, "Fucking, have you got photographic ID? Because you need photographic ID to get in." And we had to get a 350 quid taxi back to the hotel to get the fucking passport. So it wasn't a good start overall, but it was brilliant. And I kind of would love to go back and do it. I went to that Luminosity here. I'm only back from that.
It's on the beach
in June in Amsterdam. And here's probably one of the best things I've ever went to. It's an older crowd as well.
Good, I mean,
60 and 70 year olds just fucking getting at everything. So we've booked and all. We've got our tickets and all for next year. But I hope I'm there next year. Can't be drunk. You know what? I'm not even joking. I just don't enjoy it no more. And it is a knock-on effect. Like,
where it fucks you up, mate.
See, to be fair, I never had a downer in my life, ever. And I mean, anyone knows me, I partied my whole life away. 4 days out of every week for my whole entire life. Never a downer. Never one. I ain't joking. I'd say now, Jesus Christ, I'd be ready to jump in there. Like, I don't enjoy it. Like,
hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Don't like see my work, my training, everything, just mentally, I just don't enjoy it no more. So it's definitely coming down in. I'm going to challenge myself. I'm not even joking. If any of my mates are going to be watching this, and I'm going to hopefully go this time, be surrounded by a company and say no.
Where are you staying?
I'll be for rocks, every single one of us.
Not a chance you're staying off it.
Don't sleep in there.
Apparently, you can't sleep in there. The music's
I was the only hotel we stayed in years ago, too, which is called the Club Parisio. And it was fucking powerful. But it's all changed now. Like,
he stayed in the Mark. Was it you said Mark O'Connor? Yeah. They changed the name of
it. Serious? All the Belfast ones love Mark O'Connor.
Is that it's a red pool in it?
No, that's the one facing it. Fibra. That used to be Fibra. Central Park.
Central Park used to be
right at the end.
It's all done up now, but Margot Poole's facing it. And all the Belfast ones there, it's cheap and nasty, like, and they love the lefty, like, while you're holding up the DJ and all, the deck.
Straight up our street.
Our last time we stayed in Mucky Moo, mate, it was
two.
I know. I've never stayed there, but...
You couldn't take a drug.
I know.
You stand out.
And that's what I mean. Like, see, years ago going there, I used to just laugh at him.
Robert.
K holes and everything.
Tell him about whenever
that's what I was. So, Andy's a real quiet fella. He was a wee youth fucker and all. So, what happened was when I got out of jail the last time, I knew like I was it. Like, I just needed to change here and give. So, I kind of got on the street. I'd never been in a gym before to start a training. I was fucking never drank, never party. Couple of mates. One of my best mates, we were going back to Mexico, he hung himself, and then my aunt hung herself the day after, and then my cousin killed himself a couple of days after that. So it was kind of like, and I knew, like, I was only out of jail and everything was just, I started getting into a gym, and I was fucking loving it, and I'd never been in a gym before. You want to see a shape I got myself in it? And then I obviously met Anthony. He was a wee fat wee fella, wee fucker and all. And every con obviously. They just didn't expect us two to be together. But I was still kind of partying a wee bit when I obviously met him, and I'm still doing wee bits and bobs of partying, but not as much. Me and him had on one of our first trips away to Manchester, Cambridge. A couple of men. So the other weekend was mad. So the first night it was this old girl from Belfast there on the Friday, and we all got stuff. I didn't even take nothing, to be honest. I think I took a wee bit, I'm not going to lie. But she was carried out to the hospital, right? Wiped out, blah, blah, blah. We ended up running about the hospital, looking and all. And then my mate on the Saturday said to me, can you get me cat? Because there was somebody out there I know. So I got him a bag of cats. And he was carried out to hospital too. So I was like, fuck this. It was just mad. The weekend was nuts. Because that's where Manchester played be. And on a Sunday night. And then we were going home the next day. I was blocked. We ran into this bar. And I remember I had to buy a cat in my pocket. And I don't even know what made me take us. And the last night, I was trying to get sensible to go home. And I remember standing talking to some girl, me and Anthony and her at the bar, and I remember giving her a bit. And then I talk a bit, but I only thought I talk a wee bit, but I woke up outside. The bouncers apparently lifted me by the arms and legs. And I woke up, and came around a wee bit, and there was a stretcher and all out of ambulance, like people trying to get me in the ambulance. And I come walk, I swear to fuck. I was crying though, I was like, please bring me home, please bring me home. And Anthony was shouting, I fucking can't carry, or you can't walk, and I certainly can't carry. So he gets me back to the hotel, the ambulance went away, I started coming round, that's the way, when you're in a carry hole, that's the way you be. And I got into a room, fucking, he was, obviously Anthony was cracking up because of the whole commotion of it all. And I turned around, now I got up to go to a toilet or something, and I fucking, I'd shit myself. Here, I have saved all my years of partying, right? This has never, and I know it does happen to people.
It does,
right? This has never happened to me, right? Now I'm away on my first holiday away, right? He's really like not into all that. I mean, it was up my back now, here. And I, and I was in the toilet trying to get off, you know, and I was like, fuck's sake, are my favourite trunks. And he was like, you're fucking trunks, get the fucking out of here.
Okay, if he's stuck with the after that, he's definitely
here. It is. Do you know what? See, I used to love it, really love it. But the last load of years where I was taking it, I ended up really bad experience. Like, and I just don't like it anymore.
Because you've no feeling down there, so I'll explain that.
I hate when you're drinking as well, when you're really heavy on drink and you take it, it floors you.
I make the mistake, I think, and it's like Coke. So just wait, and I'm okay, and I'm like, sorry.
Big
and then next thing.
When you only take wee bits of it, I think the wee buzz is good. It's good, very buzz. If everybody else is on it, and then you just stick greedy on it, and that's it. It's fucking. But the last couple of times I've took it, like, it's been heavy duty. Never again. The last time I actually took it, I met these girls in Shaker, these two Ballymena girls. They're actually still on my Facebook. She thought I was straight. I was standing at the bar and she was over flirting with me and all. And I was winding her up. No, I was a fan there. I was winding her up. No, fucking. We ended up being like talking away on social media. I was like, that's my husband. And I was like, I'm gay. And fucking, we ended up becoming mates on Facebook. And she said, she packed away with me. She was like, I can get cat. I was like, that's funny. This was a couple of weeks after. She was up staying in the M Dream Apartments on the Lisburn Road. So I said, can you grab me a wee bag just for a rainy day to have? So I goes up and gets it. And about a week later, I was out with all my mates. Anthony wasn't out with me at this time. And they were all going back to a party up in Lagan Eve. And I went home to get changed. Because usually when I go to a party and I want to sit and have an early mild one, I go home, get shorts and all on, goodies, get everything off. And I spotted the cat and I grabbed it and fucking bounced off to the party. It was only in the party 5 minutes. And I was laying on their living room floor with a black bag over my head, vomiting everywhere. Again. Like sick. And I had given order on it. And apparently me and her was laying top each other, being sick all over the sofa and all. So the door opened, like the way our house was. And there was a man there that I knew. He was a taxi driver. He picks all people up down at the Kremlin. And I spot him and I just bolted out of the house, into the car, no shoes or nothing on. Threw up all over him in the car and he fucked me out. I standing in the town, we're not even the shoe on my foot or nothing. I went home, dude, fell through the door, and he was like, oh, dude, I'm sick as a dog. And he was like, you're a dirty lad bastard, you brought that cat up. Here's me, that's me, I'm done. No. No, yeah. Shout out to another wee story I was telling him as well. My mate, who when we go to a beach every year, the girl squad of it, and she just brought her boy at this time, and I was taking these tea bags to give you a good clear out. I was telling everyone on TikTok this, and the fall was bad though. You call them Slimities, right? I was trying to get a wee bit of a flat stomach for going to a beach.
Does that work?
Hear me, and now I'm joking, I swear to fuck. So I started taking the tea bag. But usually you take them at night, and then when you wake up the next morning, it kind of clears you out. But then, this time, and I got on the flight, the brief, our flight was 5 o'clock, and I like cramps in my stomach the whole flight. No? So I got off, it was all actually all right, got off the flight and got into a taxi to go to a hotel. And Anthony, my mate, their new boy, who I'd never met, this was the first time meeting him, was in the back of the taxi. And the fucking started coming, the goosebumps all over my arm. My they were trying to talk to me, and I was like, "Will you fuck up? I'm standing in the front of the taxi." And I was like, "The man, you may just pull over here right now." He pulled over in the motor, and I just got out on a crap in the side of the road. I just stood out the side of his car, just done a crap, just bounced into a taxi.
You need to go, you have to go.
Mate, I was shitting myself in that taxi. So I'm off a cat, and I'm off empty bags.
was that that time, Arnold?
No, this was a load of years ago.
Many times have you been?
I go every year. Like, I go about 2 or 3 times a year for the last 23 years.
It's always San Antonio?
So you've seen the fall scenes right over the years. Even the music, it's all house now. It's
it
soft,
is. All techno and all as well.
Like, it would have been trance. Like,
that's what I mean. That cabin in Paradise, it's all like Dave Pierce from years ago. And the music, the tunes are powerful.
What date's that?
22nd of September. Well, it's the week after and all. You'll get all the closing parties like them night, but then you'll get the main club's closing parties in October. Yeah. No, like Amnesia closing party, High closing, but you'll get like the DJ's closing parties the week before. And all that's why I really hope I go West Ham. I'm done with it all. Just
what are you doing now? 4 nights?
4 nights. Mm-hmm. They're all staying for a week, but I'm only going to do 4 nights.
Just on the double faggots? Don't you drink faggot?
Drink anything, to be honest. When I'm on the drink, I would drink anything.
I like an outside starting to San Miguel and then fine. See by your third day the foggers don't even do nothing.
I know.
That's what I mean. No eggs in that early.
For a load of shots as well. I used to just get a bottle of aftershock because it usually gave you a wee buzz. And when you were fucked and you hadn't slept,
you picked me up.
Aftershock, blue ones are great. Did you find out about your woman then? It wasn't her?
Well, we don't know. Like, obviously, you can't really pin. I don't know what way it works. I didn't really care, to be honest. I was just like wagging it. Are you talking about?
I don't want to say her name, but no, your woman who was
there this week at our one who was trolling.
Yeah.
On the TikTok. But don't know. What way it worked was I was obviously joking, just saying, right, well, I'm gonna give a buffet box. We're gonna catch these trolls. Not, but see, in all honestly, I can't give a fuck about troll pages. They can call me whatever they want. Obviously, the right stuff to other people about kids and about personal stuff, which isn't nice. So I was joking on the way home from Downpatrick saying, right, we're going to hunt these down. No, I ain't giving a buffet box for a family of four. If he's all...
Was that your reward? I've seen you offering reward. I ain't fucking get on to him here.
Here's me.
Get the lunch.
Here's me. We'll narrow it down. No, because obviously, like, the way it works, you need a phone number to set up the page. So the way it works, when you go into that page, it'll say people you may know from your contacts. Yes. So if everybody, like if one person had one person on TikTok in their contacts, well then it could be them, because it's somebody you know in your contacts.
Was there any of your mate had the same?
There was a couple of loads of people were coming, like people had 2 people and it could have been named 2 people. And loads of people were saying it was this person. And then obviously the girl who came into the chat, the live, and says it's not me, when everybody was thinking it was her. But I don't know now, because it's just, I don't know. I know she's taking the blame for it, like, but I don't know if it actually
she's
is her.
For now, like.
I know.
Probably fed up with it by now. Like, it's just,
I'm over it now. I was it. It was a bit of crack for me on the Sunday. See, Monday morning, I was done. I was me retiring hunting. No more. But I don't know. Apparently, the police involved. The police could fucking have no more thing in the man. I know. Listen.
I thought you were trolling me.
See social media and like thing. There's so many people involved. That cops couldn't have. They don't give a fuck.
There's nothing you can even do.
That's it. It was a bit of a crack. It was just mad. But that's the way TikTok operates. See, when something happens to one person, just a hate train, and that's it. It's madness. Every cunt just on, and all the comments just make everything 100 times worse.
Fly on TikTok, like, I can't even read them. There's the guy here. You were mad to move there before, weren't you?
I ended up selling up all my business and all to go Bobby's. Guys doing Bobby's down the Springfield.
And Springy, they've capped
me. And I sold it on just the way it was sitting, because that was me. I was kind of done at that stage. Kept the catering on, but got a unit down in Twin Spires, and then sold on the restaurant, thinking that I would have had a bit of an easy life. Here's me, I'll do the catering at the weekend. And have all week off, but it was kind of just coming out of COVID, and every cunt was having garden parties. So the catering, I was working even more, and I just lost the love for it. And I ended up giving it all up, and here's me, where we're going to move to Ibiza. But didn't end up getting the business and all sold on. It was just bad timing, just COVID and stuff. There was loads of shit and all with the lease of the unit and stuff. So
the one here or the one
here? The one here. There's actually a job where the guy could still go out and run that place out there for him. It's a bar, Plastic, you called it.
Is it San Antonio?
San Antonio Bay. Used to be in San Antonio, but at the Egg.
Was that down beside Attica, no?
Like the Egg is on the roundabout. Be like a wee row of bars there. That used to be here. I was pumping back in the day, It's moved over to the Bay now. He actually texted me last year that we want to come out and run it and stuff. But my wee dog, I have that wee dog, and he's kind of old and all now. I think if anything ever happened to him,
Bobby?
I could see me.
Is he named? Is that what the shop is out there? Is it all?
He is. Our wee dog's fucking saved my life. When I got out of jail last time, I got that wee dog, and that was it.
What kind is it?
Wee Bichon.
Bichon Frise.
Man, I swear to God, he's my best friend.
Here, so just you were touching on Taylor, so we'll go way back, Roberto. If you don't mind, growing up, obviously we know you're from the West. Where did you grow up?
I grew up down the Lower Falls, but my family's off in Divis. My granny and all lived in Divis. My daddy was born in Divis, so it was kind of my street where I live is right on Albert Street, but it's kind of not class as Divis. It's class as Lower Falls, Ross Road. But my family's off in Divis. I run about in Divis.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What sort of years would we be talking? You would have been, say, running about the streets then. Say you were 13, 14. What year would that have been? Early 90s or? Early 90s? Was it mad?
It was nuts. I was just a mad chair. My mum always says I was the maddest chair ever. Just running about. Neighbours hated my guts. But that's what I always say. I was telling me things on TikTok and stuff. I always say, back in the end days, the way I carried on, stealing cars, breaking into cars, fucking glue sniffing, the things I got up to. I was like, I just think I'd done most of it just to fit in. Back then, I think I always knew it was different. I always knew. And back then, I would say I was really camp, really feminine as a child, because as a child, you can't hate it. Do you know what I mean? You're just being who you are. And I never got bullied, but I obviously got called fruit and all, because that's obviously the way people operate, especially down there. So I do believe, most of the things I've done, it was just to fit in and run about being mad and fucking, just because of, the fit in, we're all, growing up down there. But yeah, I was nuts, blue sniffing, stealing, shoplifting, fucking.
They had a car near every night of the week.
Every day. Me and my mate used to go and he used to steal cars and I used to get at them. Fucking, I was just mad.
What age was that?
I was only 14. I was fucking mad. And me and him, it's really. It's
that's
really.
When you start doing,
and that's 14, what you do. 15, and see, me and my mate, Fra, he called him. He was a crazy, crazy cunt as well. And he was just bonkers. And it turned out me and him kind of lost contact for years. And when I bumped into him, it turned out that he had come out again.
Serious?
You couldn't believe it when you found out?
And me and him was never never allowed near each other.
Did you ever have an...
I never, back then. But obviously loads of people did know. Loads of our people, what he always says, they always knew. But I didn't. I don't know. It's weird. I never lost contact. I end up being his best man all at his wedding and stuff.
Is he married to a fella?
He's married now to a fella now.
Alex.
We're still really close, And see, every time, me and him would have got caught shoplifting every time. And I was more scared of getting caught were him than it was shoplifting. Because my man's fucking.
What are you doing with him?
Because so, he wasn't allowed near me and I wasn't allowed near him, like, ever. But I remember one time me and him was caught shoplifting. It was this new underwear place open in Castle Court. He called the Pretty Woman. And it was like all women loved the underwear in it. And me and him went and lifted all the reels and fucking bras and knickers. I got scooped. But everything me and him done, like, we just always got caught. But I just grew up down there and my family was kind of always like known as like Sticks family. So yeah, that was like, I was in the Sticky band and all for years and it's just
been through it all, mate.
And then obviously like going into like my, I ended up falling in love with chefing, cooking, and it kind of got me out of trouble.
Wait, was that in jail or when you got out of jail?
No, this was when like I was coming out of my teens and I'll come to here. And I went to workforce down to Springfield and ended up getting a job in Spranza's. Do you remember Spranza's years ago in Shaftesbury Square? It's like a big Chinese thing there. Somebody drove a car through it there recently, loaded the last couple of years.
Sounds Italian, was it?
It's an Italian restaurant and it was one of the probably busiest restaurants about back in the day, like. And I got a job in there, and the head chef, he was from down to Springfield, he's dead now. He ended up really, really, was really like me. I was obviously like loved for the job. All the other chefs used to hate it because he used to call me his wee blue. I know, because he was really strict. And I fucking loved it. And I ended up going out one time to tell Paradise Lost and took my first day. First half an ale, never forget it. And my mate gave me it, and I was only a kid. And that first half an hour, that was it. The rest was history. I never went back to work. Just started running my bike, flat out on drugs. And it was just mayhem after that. So I never worked then. And obviously, I started going to all raves, like Space and stuff, and the network, and everywhere. Just every one of them raves that opened all night, Tokyo, Joe's, the stuff.
Where was your favorite one?
Larry. I probably love Space.
Where?
Talbot Street, you know, like St. Anne's Cathedral.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I obviously like started socializing with like, loads of people who probably were big drug dealers back and then most of every one of them's all shot dead now. I don't want to say any names, but like in the papers years ago, it was always these big drug dealers all named every week. And I would have been kind of socializing just through friends. Like I would have run about with a lot of female girls and they obviously were kind of dating some of them and it was just like one thing led to another and it just got, that's how I got into like selling drugs. And I was still living in my mans and I was just fucking flat out. It was hardly ever. I was partying every weekend, fucking knocking out the gate. And back then, like, I was, because I loved it that much, I was probably eating mostly all the drugs and obviously old cunts of fortune and cunts were after me. I was just mad. I was still living in my mans. Her house was getting raided and all. And fucking.
Did you get your mans house raided, did you?
Well, I was living there. And the first time I actually got caught with drugs was in Robinson's. I was only 21. And they scooped me, the bouncers, and they got the cops. And the cops were at my mom's house at 4 o'clock in the morning. They had me in the bikes. I was in the bikes from Friday to Sunday or Monday. Because that's the way they'd done it years ago. You stayed in the bikes all weekend. And they were at her house and all that weekend. And I ended up, I got bail from court on the Monday. And I'd never been, like, I was always caught doing stuff, but it was, like, younger. And it was the first time I ever got to court for, like, serious stuff. And I ended up getting jail.
How long did you get?
18 months.
What
and I wasn't even 21.
21.
And I wasn't even expecting it. Like, I thought I was getting off it because I was kind of like, no really history of any mad stuff.
Was it Barney's, was it?
And they only got me for 10 E's. I was only caught for 10 E's. And, like, see back then, like, there was a couple of people I remember caught for, like, a lot more. And I was
caught for 10 E's and got 18 months. Went to jail. And do you know what? It was kind of like a holiday camp. I'm not even joking. Oh, like, see, think back now. Like, the Ban House, you called it, and I swear I was out every Monday. I was kind of a good prisoner. So, in jail, the way it works is like it's a regime with like standard enhanced, basic standard enhanced. Basic, you don't have a TV. Standard, you have like some things, and enhanced, you're like, you're not a high risk. You get more things, no more visits, and I was kind of passed with the screws in the gym to go out, like the more mountains every week, you know. You leave the prison every Monday. And I used to go in fucking rob all the shops and bring everything But we, it was actually funny, I was talking about this the other day when I used to do it with this girl. She was from East Belfast And she was in for, I think she was in for killing her husband or something. And me and her used to do it, the guy.
Because we used to go out every Monday and do the peaks in the mornings. And me and her ended up becoming pen pals and all. Turning her letters in my house. I'm a big yeah, we were right, the guy. Her family was like big UDA family from East Belfast. And she was in for stuff. I think if she was killing her husband or she killed somebody. But she got life. I think she thinks she's out now. And it's just fucking mad. And when I was in that time, Johnny O'Donnell, he was in the next cell.
Was it McGabry? Was it
McGabry? Back then, like everyone was mixed. Do you know, like all paramilitaries and all.
Oh,
and Johnny O'Donnell was in the next cell to me, and he and all his mates, your man Smicker and all, was down in the R ring. And then it was all people. Remember him fellas that like shot into the Reburn Barracks. They were all in at the exact same time. There was murder. I remember being locked down all for like 2 weeks.
Was it mad in there, was it?
Because they were all fighting. The guy, I think it was one day in the yard, it was a big fight and the lock was all down. And then I think it was shortly after that, then they segregated them all.
Separate them?
Uh-huh. But when I got out of jail at that time, I got a day, that day Friday. I was like, what the fuck? I had no clue because I was only out. I was like, me, the cops keep calling here, looking at you. And I was like, what for? I was like, they're not looking at me for anything. If anything, I could have been driving. Because I had loads of driving charges. I'll talk to you that after it. I went down and your cop was like to me, you know your life's under threat. I was like, what? I thought he was slagging. And he got this man in, like a liaison officer and all, to give me a wee book and fucking told me to go here to this place in base 2. And they got me a flat and they ended up moving down to White Abbey. Had to leave the family home.
Jesus Christ.
Many years ago was that?
That's when I was only out of jail. I think I was about 22.
So what did you do, 9 months, any 18 months you don't have? What did you do?
Well, what happened was, actually, when I was out on that bound bail, the cops pulled up the next street to my mum's house, and I had a couple of things. And they flew down in 2 cars, and I threw a bag of stuff into a garden. And the cops drove away, and I went into my uncle's house, who lived facing with the garden where I threw it. And then the cops came back 10 minutes later and searched the garden and found him and came out to my house and arrested me 2 days later. So when I was in jail for that 18 months, I was getting dumped for that other charge, and they run that concurrent, so he ended up getting an hour, 8 months or something out onto it. It was mad. Fucking nuts. And then obviously, when I moved down to Wade Abbey, I obviously had to get it. I was driving at the time, but I learned myself how to drive. Back in, I remember this day I bought this big Audi Quattro, like a big what fucking, I had no clue about cars at this time. I'd never drove in my life. My brother, my war mate, had me out in the car up in the mountain. And they started driving me, but I was going real spurt at the time. And I was like, they let me drive, and I was really confident driving all. And I dropped them 2 off and drove to Wade Abbey. On the way back, I drove through an Amber Lincoln, crashed into a private taxi. So I phoned my two mates, you probably know them, I don't want to say their names. They're from up here, and they were flying about in the car, and they came down and picked me up. And I just left the car, got out and left the car, and we got back on the falls. The cops fucking blue lighted us. Chased us a whole way up White Rock, down and through turf lodge, down the M.E. streets. I was shitting myself.
Did you take a chase?
The cop, they ended up driving right up in the car, like ended up ramming into all them two, get out and run. I get scooped.
You always get caught,
I swear to fuck. So, and then I was just driving and driving and driving because I was living down in White Abbey and I kept buying cars, kept getting stopped. My brother actually fucking told me. I used to give his name all the time.
Everyone does.
Every single time I give his name. And one day, they stopped me. And it's really mad at this wee story. He stopped me in a Calibra. I bought this big Calibra. Remember him, Calibra card?
And
they stopped me at a checkpoint. I gave my brother's name and got away. They let me go. We're a producer. And I goes round to my man's house, only around the corner, and was sitting there having a bit of breakfast, no door rap. I answered the door, and it was a cop saying, you're under arrest, Rob. So because I gave his name, they dumb me for all the times, like I give bum names.
Yeah.
And they end up going, about a year later, they ended up having me in court for the driving, and he ended up getting 8 months in jail for that, and a 6-year driving ban. Actually, a 6-year driving ban, and then when I went back, I ended up with a 15-year driving ban altogether and 6.5 grams of the fines. And only when I met Anthony or our team, I ended up applying and took like 4 years off the driving ban because I needed it for work. So it was banned and I used to just cycle. That's why I ended up having to move back to East Belfast because I was just kept getting stopped in cars. I was like, I just can't take this anymore. I'm going to just go to jail.
It's like losing a set of legs.
It's fucking right.
I lost mine twice. I'm on my third license.
Aye.
I drank driving and stealing a car, no insurance.
I was never dumb for drink driving once, just always like.
I didn't actually fucking drink drive. I was just in the driver's seat of a drunk when I was drunk. And I actually moved it up outside McDonald's. I was in the back. My mate went from McDonald's. So I jumped from the back out, across the front seat. I drove it up. Do you ever see the wee bus stop outside McDonald's in the town?
Yes.
Like a wee bus stop. That's where it was stopped. So I just moved it up to the window so I could look in. And then I got out of the car and I had some McDonald's cats pulled up. I didn't even know. They lifted me the next day. They brought me in to question me because it was steaming. And just pulled a wee camera fucking the one that they show you on the camera. And you can just see me from there's a big camera outside McDonald's. I just jumped through, moved the car a tiny part, and then a year ban.
It's actually mad because seeing I was a gay predator the other week, I was standing facing the city hall and there was a peeler jeep sitting there, we're all cops. Well, these are cops joined him and they were all standing there and if cap staring over at me. And I was looking over him, but my mate was saying to me, isn't he great? No, no, like about the cop, like joking. And the cop went to me, he took his hat off, and he was like to me, Robert. And I was like, what? He's like, do you not remember me? And I was like, no. He's like, we had you tortured years ago. He's like, can you not remember? We chased you in your big Calibra. Oh, I had my mate in the car, we're a kid, and I pulled up at the, it was actually his mate. You called him Singleton. You know your man Singleton? Well, he used to run about with a cop called Pounder years ago. Anybody from down Davis will know these two cops. And I pulled up at the Grabner one time and they just pulled up beside me and hanging. And I don't know what made me because I couldn't really drive. I used to just start a bombing down the motorway, blue lights, cops everywhere. Next down here was four cop cars all up beside me trying to push me off road and I just stopped there in the motorway. And he was able to say at the other day, I cop.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I haven't seen him in years. Swear to God, he took his hat off and just went to me, Robert. But I just had to stop driving in a cycle for years. But do you know what? I moved down to Wade Abbey. It was way down there on my own. Like, thinking about this earlier, actually driving up. And I remember one night, I woke up out of bed and two masks in here were trying to break my window in my bedroom. It was a ground downstairs flat. And I woke up and fucking left it. My TV just fucking at the window and turned all the lights on. But I'm loads of people, like the amount of people used to come to me and say, oh, like, I'm just like giving a heads up, like, cunts are talking about doing party and all, saying they're going to come and like tie you up and for money and stuff. Obviously, every cunt thought I was loaded. You know what I mean? And I wasn't even, though they got fucked off. All the money I made years ago, I used to just party, like, fucking holiday and take my mates away on holiday. I used to just wake up and go, right, come on, we're going away. So I wasn't really sensible with it all, so they'd have never gotten them. But loads of people used to always say to me, like, just be very careful because cunts are going to come and tie you up now. Like setting up parties. That's how bad it was. So it was, and I was stuck away down there on my own. And I was just like, right, I need to get back to Belfast. So I ended up moving into East Belfast, the Castlereagh Road. It was like a Protestant area. Red, white, blue flags everywhere. I lived there for years, like, and it was certain as fuck. That's what I was actually thinking about on the way up as well. It's fucking mad, all the wee things coming in.
And loud in the Strand, were you
there? I loved the Strand then, so I obviously started running. Lived on the Protestant side. But then I started running about the Strand, and every cunt in the Strand was just partying like, fuck, hearing me straight up my street. Yeah, I fucking loved it. So I'm mates for everyone in the Strand now. I just fucking started running about the world. But I was thinking about this on the way up because of all the driving. I was saying to you about the 6.5 grand fines. And I went to Dublin. I remember we were out partying all night. And I says, come on, we'll fly down to Dublin. No, that's just the thing we used to do. And I met this fella down there, quiet fella, good looking fella. And he'd never been in the north before. And I said to him, sure, come on. We end up partying all night back to the hotel. And I said, do you want to come up to Belfast? And he's like, nah. I said, come on, you'll be sweet. I have my own gaff now. So we go to Yallo at Nick. Can you remember Yallo?
Was it where Rain was still?
No, oh, like 39 Gordon Street. Lux, ah. That was the last time I was caught, and I'll tell you about that. The setup. I brought the fella back up the north. Never been there, and all quiet fella. Like, and we ended up leaving Yallo early. Went back to my house because I was fucked. I hadn't really slept. And I get up. I was getting up the next morning to open the blinds and all to go and get stuff to make me at home breakfast. I opened the blinds. Jesus Christ, there was like 8 Taylor jeans. Talking rubber gloves all on, sniffer dogs and all. And I was like, he's standing there in a pair of white frunks. And I was like, mate, put something on. I think his house is getting in it. Here,
house, right?
2 minutes and the door was right up. He was shaking himself. They wasn't even giving me time to wait on him. Like, he was just laying there, and they brought me to jail for the fines, the warrant for the fines, for the driving. And I had to phone my dad on the way up in the cop car and take, will you go over and bring off fella to the train station?
Christ, didn't you ever see him again,
though? No? I did, yeah, actually did. When I got out, I had loads of messages and all from him. Fucking, I was like, man, I'm really sorry.
Cracker. Have you been to jail twice?
3 times.
Have you?
So the last time I went, I was the Yallo thing. It was fucking mad. So Yallo, like, I went there. It was a gay bar. We called it Mint Cube. And then it all changed over and then all nighter Yallo, and back then, like, Yallo was proper pumping. And I get this all the time. You see everywhere I go catering, like delivering buffets and catering that. Every single where I go, somebody comes up to me and goes, I used to get easier in Yallo years ago. Like, I'm starting, setting out the food, conscious come up whispering in your ear. Robert, they used to call me Robert E. Most everywhere I go, you people used to say, I have you on my phone, it's Robert E. So, and Yallo is just party like fucker, and we're obviously close to the owners and all. It's just 1 AM, hey, that was just the whole vibe of it all. Everyone went every single weekend. But these two girls was there, two undercover cops, two English girls from the Metropolitan Police, the camera head to toe. And obviously, like, the way I run about back in, like, I was flat out. I was fucking hugging her and all, and showing me, oh, come on, I'll give you half an ear, old fucking. The cameras, and they were looking coke, so they obviously, they said, and they says when they went in there, they said the minute they walked in, they knew they were on to a good thing. And that's just the way Yallo was, like, it was fucking brilliant. It went on for 4 weeks, so the girls were there every 4 weeks, and we were there every single week, all the same people. They were getting coke at people. It was actually some fella from Sandy Row got lifted. They'd see the day it happened. It was a big sting. It was on the news about all that morning. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning. What happened was I was renting my flat out in East Belfast, and my mate, she was 9 months pregnant, and her and her boy was there, and I was living up in Andy Town in my mate's house, and my phone rang at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it was like, well, I didn't know it was a cop at this time, but he was like, mate, Robert, where are you? Where are you? I need to talk to you. And I was like, who the fuck says? He's like, where are you? Where are you? And he hung up. Next minute, the phone rang again. He was like, Robert, I need to, where are you? Give me your address. Where are you? I need to come and see me. He was really shouting down the phone at me. And I was like, who the fuck is this? And I hung up, and something just helped me. I was like, my mate who owned the house, I phoned her. And I was like, can you drive me over to my flat? And I don't know why it made me just go over. And on the way over, came on the news, like a big, massive bust in Belfast, Greater Belfast area, a drugs bust and all that. And I was like, it's great.
So
I drove into my street, fucking cop leaps the whole way up the street. She's laying in bed, 9 months pregnant. My fucking door got put in the flat again. And they were using her, they were obviously phoning me from her phone to find out where I was. But I ended up, they got everybody else. And I phoned my solicitor and said, can you phone up and see what that's about? And he says to me, they want you to hand yourself in this Antrim Serious Crime Suite. And I was like, what for? And they were like, it was on the news anyway, so on the radio, I kind of knew what it was. When I went down to Antrim Serious Crime Suite, straight away, my bro drove me down, I gave him my phone. And straight away, when I went down, the cop said to me, where's your phone? And I was like, I left it in the house, or my brother has it. He's like, what's the driver's registration? I was like, I don't know, chase my bro, and I'll try to find my bro. I flew out of the thing. I ended up getting bail. They wouldn't give us bail because it was like a massive, like it was really big, like all over the news and all. See the money they wasted on it. Millions of pounds on this thing, because there was about 10 people arrested for it for different things. No, like some fella said, I'm the biggest, second biggest drug dealer in Bill. He was trying to touch for. See, if you look up on Google, I'll tell you, he was trying to touch for, and he was like, I'm the second biggest drug. He could lift it for it. These two women cops were just making their way around the club, just getting everything of everyone, chatting to people. There was loads of different people that obviously I was getting coke for other people, and they were all lifted. But these are people were just saying, like, spouting. He was trying to land on touch for it all, saying he was a big drug dealer and everything. And he get lifted. But they wouldn't even give his bail or nothing for weeks because of harsh hairs, no like for evidence and all. And every other cunt got bail. And the day I got bail from High Court, they wouldn't let me out until my phone was handed in. And my dad had the lad on, he broke it up and smacked it and all, no, because he was it was all the news and the papers and stuff. But it was fucking nuts. The owners and all, they lost their license and everything. That their club was never the same after it. Like, it was crazy. Mm. Just mad. It just shows you, like, you fucking don't. Back in then, but you don't give a fuck. You ain't giving, you're just fucking.
Jake, that still happens now.
Well, these two girls, they were over here in a big swarm. Apparently, they were in three different places before there. And it says once I walked in there, they knew that they were on their good thing. So then, obviously, I was out on I got bail, and obviously for sentencing, and the whole case fell apart. Every other cunt got off it. They fucked the courts about that much. Like, they wanted an amenity, like, and they had no evidence. It went on for about 2 years, and the judge was gone nuts, and then they wanted an amenity, and the judge wouldn't give him it. And I was the only cunt that got time, because I admitted it. So when I got sent, I only got 6 months. Every other cunt got off it. The whole case fell apart. And the Sunday, when I was working in my mate's shop in the Lisburn Road, and the Sunday papers had me, this fella had me tortured, ringing the shop and all, saying, do you want to give your shadiest story? And all. I was like, I don't have a shadiest story. And they were up taking photos and all. So when I went into jail, I was doubled up. I was telling somebody this here, I was doubled up with this fella, and he was fucking stinking, like, not joking. He never got washed. He wanted to smell them. And I was like, I was openly gay at this time, but obviously he didn't know. And, he was doing my head, and the TV was on. I remember the only way Sussex was on TV, and he was calling them all fruits and all, like, you might have heard him, the TV. No, just calling them everything. And I didn't say nothing, but about 2 weeks after, because I was sentenced, I was moved to McGilligan, and the Sunday, that bastard from the Sunday paper done the big write-up, me on the front page, the gay baker, come here, the cross-dressing sunbag king and all, but I said he's right, urged me in drag. And a beef of my mates dressed me up years ago, and they obviously stole that photo from somewhere and says that I'm in touch with my cross dress and said, you know what, I say stuff is there. And about a week later, I was in McGilligan, and your man come down, the man I was doubled up with, and I went up to him, and I was like, man, I'm sorry, I'm not telling you, I was a freak. He was calling every cunt all the fruits at the end of the TV. But I could have got moved out because he smoked and I never smoked. And I was like, do you know what? I can't even be honest. I knew I was going to McGilligan. But that was the last time I was in jail, and I'll never be back.
So McGabry and McGilligan you were in?
Well, the first sentence I'd done, I spent most of it in McGabry. And then the last half of it, I got moved to McGilligan. Because at McGilligan's like a... You only stay in McGabry if you have other shit. Because I had that other one that I was telling you was getting run concurrent, Dimrit. Yeah. I was still outstanding. You can't go to McGilligan if you have more outstanding charges. Once you have no charges, they move you straight to McGilligan then.
So more relaxed than all McGilligan, isn't
it? It is. And back down there as well, I was actually thinking about another thing I'd done. I ended up being a really good prisoner down there as well because I never took drugs and all. So I passed all the drug tests and like was like, a good and the good regime. I went in this place where you run about freely and open freely, but I went out in parole one time and fucking party for 3 days, fully eased, never slept. And some fella had asked me to bring him back stuff to the jail. And I met up with his mate the morning I had to go back. I hadn't slept. I ran over to my man's to go get my stuff and go out. Met the fella. I'm standing in my man's bathroom trying to plug 3 inches of fucking dope. And no, like, no, the way it used to be hard hangs. I'm not even joking, like, I know I'm a fruit, but here it's fucking. Come here, stand plugging 3 ounces of blow, what fucking shit, 9 o'clock in the morning when you haven't been to bed in 3 days. It's not nice. But it's apparently that's something you had to do when you're in jail. So when I brought it back, they I failed the drug test and I had they kept me in the block for a couple of days because that's what they do because they think you have something in. No, so that you don't flush it out. Because I'm sitting raw in my. No, they didn't get the stuff licked, but you want to see me trying to get them out? It was fucking brutal.
Did you hold it in for a couple of days?
I had to. Shit. Well, it was about a day and a half. It actually wasn't too bad. And then I actually had to get shake them all back out again. But apparently that's something you do when you're. When you go out and pro. I didn't want to let the old boys down and say, you know, apply for my license, got that back, and ended up me and him started doing these Sunday. I said to him, I just want to get back to cooking because he always loved cooking. And I set up a Facebook page and we just started posting wee buffets and like the buffets were just flying out. Couldn't believe it. We were doing £1,000 buffets. I had no vector. The boot didn't even stay open. I had a brush pull. £1,000 buffet we were delivering to Shanko. A brush pull, not holding the fucking boot open, trying to bring it in. I was squandering. I think don't even let anybody see what we're in. And then one day I remember saying to him, I started cooking in the house and like posting the dinner and just the fucking thing for him. See, even looking back at the photo, obviously it was years ago, like looking back, it was cat looking too. I don't even know if people loved about it. And we started doing Sunday dinners out of the house. And I remember one day we sold 300 dinners out of our house and our kitchen. And people were driving from fucking everywhere for a Sunday dinner.
Does Anthony cook?
I actually tell you this wee story. Me and Anthony, he'd never been in trouble before in his life. Me and him, man, I used to be addicted to shoplifting. And we ran over to Park Forest to get stuff for work. This was only a couple of years ago before I sold Bobby's. And we went into Marks and Spencer's and I walked out with a trolley of stuff. And a couple of days later, we were in Macro and I says, come on, we'll go over to Far Side again. Walked out with a trolley of stuff and me and him got scooped and ended up in Musgrave Street Barracks all day.
Just from a couple of years ago.
our work file and everything got raided in the middle of the car.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, so I just felt the shop, the success, not, and just from everything, we end up going to Cambodia and stuff, and give back to a wee charity school out there.
For pity, mate.
And because every cunt was just really good to us, so I felt like I needed to give something back.
Do you want
to
give us anything?
Feel free.
But yeah, I'm on the straight and narrow now, and that's me, I'm a changed man.
So that's what I was going to ask you. What's next moving forward, business-wise, just for you in general?
To be fair, I'm not joking. Like, I do definitely want to be a daddy. Do I want it to happen within the next 5 years? So I just need to work my balls off and see it, because you do need to be financially stable. I don't really want to work my balls off. So I think the next 40 years I'm just going to work and work and work and save like fuck. And try and be a daddy.
That's well, works out well for you, mate. You're
good to have
lesson.
You on. Fucking
what
legend,
a fucking
mate.
Story that was. Like, do you know what I mean? I reckon there's a load more.
And there is a load more, but I didn't want to say it all because I do want to do my wee story time on TikTok, which I promised to do. So
done your work for us today. So thank you, mate.
Yes, everyone. So if you want to follow me on Roberto Loosley on TikTok and Bobby's Catering on Facebook.
Good man.
Thank you, lads.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.